Today's share in the Dershah Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Samach Zayin Omer Aleph in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah, Simen Shin Chav Ches, still dealing with the halachos of refuah. We begin on the very last line of Kuf Samach Vav Amud Beis with Sif Chav Tes. The Mechaber writes, Mi shenifka yado araglav, if somebody hurt their hand or their foot, as the Mishneh Berurah explains in Sif Katan Sadi Aleph, shenichshala v'loksa, for example, he slipped and he fell and he hurt himself on his hand or his foot. Umayri, we're talking obviously shaloha yaide barzel. It's not a wound from metal, because we had spoken earlier that metal wounds are much more potentially serious and need to be treated as such a priori. Likewise, v'gam shel nifku hayad v'haregel agabon. Likewise, we're not talking about that it was on the dorsum, the back of the hand or of the foot, because these wounds also are more serious. De'ilu nifku agabon, because if you have these wounds on the back of the hand, osho yahakal yedebazol, if it was a metal-inflicted injury, we've already learned, kvar mavur le'el b'siv vav v'zayin, we learned earlier in this simon, in siv vav and siv zayin, that these are considered b'chlal makosh yesh b'sakana, these are serious, life-threatening, potential injuries, u'machal n'alenas ha'shabbos, and you're allowed to go in Mechal Shabbos for them. Dershah footnote number 89 brings down, likewise, if you have blood coming out of the wound, the Eino Netzari de Chometz, and it won't stop with vinegar or some astringent over here, so then there's a concern over here of a significant loss of blood or infection, so Ravazan Zatzal, and the Shevet Alevi brings down that you're also allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in this situation, even though it's not on the back of the hand or on the foot, and even if the injury wasn't caused by a metal object. So you have this injury on your hand or your foot. It's a relatively minor injury. So the Mechaber tells us, tzomtzom b'yayin, you're allowed to go and shrink it, go and stop the swelling and the bleeding using wine, b'yayin, kidei lahamid hadam, to stop the bleeding. However, avalo b'chomets, you're not allowed to use a much more astringent type of a liquid like vinegar, b'neishu chazach, because it's stronger, v'yeshu mishum refuah. That would be for medicinal purposes as opposed to the wine, which we said is sometimes used just for washing purposes. Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Sadi Beis explains, V'kosha kem b'yayin sraf, you likewise wouldn't be allowed to use hard liquor, which would be just like the vinegar. He brings us down the name of the Chayyodim. Dershah footnote number 90 brings down why you're allowed to use wine. So Rishlomo Zalman Zatzal brings down, Shekivin Shein Osim Zos Elikadei Latzor Sadam, using it to just stop the bleeding over here, it's not really a refuah, and therefore you're allowed to use it. And he says, what about using, in Dershah footnote number 91, some sort of a powder that would also stop the bleeding? So the Shelus Tshuvas Olitzion brings down, Shekivan She'eno Mirapas Esamaka, since this likewise doesn't heal the wound, it just stops the bleeding, you'd be allowed to put this various types of powders that stop bleeding on the wound itself. And there's also the opinion of Nissen Karlitz Shlita, and he adds, Shim Apkazumo Ilal Ripuyamaka, but if it does have medicinal benefits, then you wouldn't be allowed to do so. Rishlomo Zalman Zatzal also says that you are allowed to put iodine on this, which even though it is medicinal in the sense that it will kill the bacteria, it's not considered a refuah, but more like a protection against the bacteria from causing an infection. And just like you're allowed to put a bandage on this to prevent it from getting worse, you're allowed to do the iodine as well. On the other hand, the Shelus Hachus Or Letzion disagrees and says that iodine over here is a refuah and is not allowed to be used on Shabbos unless you're dealing much more with a serious wound or in a young child, where by definition it would be more of a life-threatening situation and one would be allowed to use iodine. The Mechaber continues and says that the person has very thin skin. Ivimhu meunag, which the Mishneh Berurah explains in Sifkat and Sadi Gimel, she'or besorach, he's very soft or thin skin, v'chol dover shu chozok kitzas, and therefore any type of an astringent will be kosher lebesoro v'tzomeis merape, will be harsh on his flesh, so to say, and will shrink it, and will be therefore medicinal, therefore afayayin for such a person lo kimo hachometz yosser. Even using a milder astringent over here, like the wine, would be considered medicinal and not just for rechitza, to stop the bleeding, and would be prohibited in such a person. Sif Lamed, the Mechaber writes, Mi shenishmeto perek yado o raglo mimakomo. If somebody has a dislocation of the hand or the elbow or of the foot or other parts of the body, lo yishav shefeno harbe betzonein. You're not allowed to go and put it in cold water, a lot of cold water, because zehu refuaso, that is going to heal it. Ella, what can you do? Rochitz kedak, you are allowed to wash it. No, and in that situation, the nisrapi, if it somehow gets better, the swelling goes down because of the cold, and it slips back into place, then that would be permitted. The Mishneh Berurah explains in Sifkat and Sadi Dalid, the hainu shiotso etzem miperik shelo, we're talking here, based on Rashi explaining this in the Gemara, that it's a dislocation of the joint. V'ayin lekam in the Sif Menzayin, we'll learn this in a couple of days, b'mashakosu shom b'mishneh Berurah, the Mishneh Berurah will add to this discussion in a couple of days. Sifkat and Lamed Aleph, the Mechaber writes, Tziporen Shepersha, you have a nail that became somewhat torn away from the rest of the nail, from the body of the nail. Or you have tzitzin. You have these little pieces of skin, shem kimin ritzuos dakos, that are like thin slivers over here of skin. Shepirishumi or etzba. These little pieces of skin have come off from around the finger area, often around the nail area. Shepirishumi or etzba svivatzipar. They come off from the area that's right around the fingernail. So are you allowed to pick them off or pull off their little bit of the nail or the skin that's barely attached? So the Mechaber tells us, in Perishu Ruben, if the majority of the nail or of this piece of skin has come off, kelape mala, towards the top. We'll see in a moment, there's a machlokas, what does it mean towards the top? Does it mean distally, which means further away from the center of the body, i.e. towards the tip of the finger, or does it mean towards the proximal part of the nail bed, which means the part that's closer to the central part of the body? We'll see in a moment, there's a machlokas over here between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. In any event, if the majority of this over here towards the top, we'll see what that means, umetzaros or so, and it's painful to him, lahasirim biyad mutter, then you'd be allowed to pull off the nearly detached nail or piece of skin, but only with your fingers. You can't use a tool. And bechli, if you did it with some sort of a scissor or a tool, then you would be over in issa derabbanan, potter al loser. It wouldn't be an issa deraisa, but it would be forbidden midrabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah explains as if cut inside. Hey, we're talking here about the majority of the nail or the majority of the skin has come off. Bitziporin, hainu rov atziporin, by the nail, most of the nail. Ubitzitzin, with the skin, kosav prima godim. Any of their roves there, may ayin maschil. How do you define over here the majority of the piece of skin has come off? The Avshar, he says, maybe, the hainu kol shederach b'niodim liklov sham. If you would go and pull this part off, im nikla farov bimenu kitolush domi. If the majority of it is already considered pulled off, then it's considered like it's almost all pulled off, and it's considered that it's no longer attached. And therefore, with your fingers, you'd be allowed to pull it off. But with a kli, as we learned, you would not be allowed to. That would be an issur d'rabbanan. As the Mishnah Berurah explains, if katan sadivav, the kivin shapir shuruban, since most of it has come off, we view it krovim l'ninastek u'kitlushin dami. It's considered as if it's already cut off, and it's viewed as if it's totally detached, and therefore, you could pick it off with your fingers. And therefore, why is this allowed? Hilkach b'mkom tzara, since it's somewhat painful, lo gazru rabbanan, the rabbis never instituted over here any decree. Keshu misira yedei shinui d'hainu b'yado, if you do it in an abnormal way, in a kalachar yad way, which is doing it with your fingers. Normally you take a nail, clipper, or a scissor. So therefore, if you do it with your fingers, it's allowed. V'tzorch lizar, but you have to be careful, shelo yotzi dam, you have to be careful, he brings down the name of the prima godim, that you don't have any new blood coming out, because then that's a different problem, and it would be usur. The issue footnote number 92 explains, from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, that when most of it has become detached already, we view the nail as a separate entity, and the part that's detached is no longer considered part of the nail, and therefore it's halachically viewed as if it's no longer attached. And therefore, when you pick it off, you're detaching something that's already detached. The issue footnote number 93 adds that when you have a loose tooth, so Ravazan Zatzal, and the Shevet Alevi brings down, also, it's considered already detached, and therefore, if you have pain, you'd be allowed to go, just like with the nail, to remove that loose tooth, or the loose piece of nail, or the loose piece of skin. Back to the Mechaber, but if it hasn't become mostly detached, lo perishu ruban, the skin or the nail has not been, by the majority of it, detached, so then, even picking it by hand, biyad, is potter av alos, so that's an issur d'rabbanan, and bichli, if you take a nail clipper or a scissor, that would be a chayiv chatos. Mishnah Berurah explains as if cut inside Zayin, who adin dafilu lo perishu klal potter biyad. You're never allowed to pick it with your hand, and certainly if it's not at all detached, you can't pick it with your hand. That would be an issur d'rabbanan. Then derech litlosh biyad, even though that's not the normal way to do it, and benakte lashmin and dafilu b'zeh osur. With your hand, it's always osur. Even when it's detached a little bit, it's still osur. It's only when it's mostly detached with your hand that it's permissible. So attached a little bit is an issur d'rabbanan, and certainly if it's not detached at all, it's also an issur d'rabbanan with your hand. But sifkot and tzadiches, if you use the kli, then you're chayav achatis in that situation because that's an actual toldo de gozes, the Mishnah Berurah tells us. And he says, ayin lekam esim shin mem, bibir halacha, what we're going to see over there. And the issue footnote number 94 tells us, shedovah shederech litlosho biyad, something that normally is picked with the hand, then it's even issa daraisa to go and pick it with the hand. Now we get to the Mechaber telling us this machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam that I alluded to. We said, you're only allowed to go and pick it with your hand if the majority of it is removed at the top, if it's most of it's detached from the top. Upirish Rashi, klapi mala, this means what we call distally, towards the fingertip, klapi roshi etzbiosov. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam, pirish, it means, dahinu klapi aguf, means the part that what we call proximal, which is closer to the body, i.e. it would be like the nail bed part. And therefore, since both of these views come to exactly opposite conclusions, tzarech lochosh l'shnei apirushim, you have to be concerned for both, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah explains, as if katan tzadi test, it means lochein afilu pirshu ruban, if the majority of the nail or the skin has come off, also litlan afilu biyad, it would be inesed derabbanan, according to either the Rashi or the Rabbeinu Tam, depending where it is, for you to go and remove it, and therefore, you're not allowed to remove it even with your hand. Sif Lamed Beis. The Mechaber writes, Hachoshesh Beshinav, if somebody has a relatively mild tooth pain, so to treat that, lo yigma bohem chometz v'yiflot. You're not allowed to go and gargle with some vinegar and then spit it out. Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Kuf, we're talking here of also lo malina Yehudi lasos lo eza dover l'rufua. You certainly can't ask a non-Jewish person to do this for you as well. Vafilu dover shurak mishum shvus. Even if the non-Jewish person is going to prepare something for you that is only an issa derabbanim for you to make, so it's shvus to shvus. But since over here you're not talking about a cholish embo sakana, you're talking about a mechush bi'alma, even shurak mechush bi'alma, just a mild irritation of the tooth with no potential danger at all. For certain, achim yesh lo tzar gadol. But if there is a lot of pain, machmas hakev, because of this pain, ubavur zeh nechlash kol guf, and the person therefore is sick, his whole body, so to say, because of this pain that he has, then mutu lasos ayodo afilu melacha d'oraisa. Then you can even ask a non-Jewish person to do for you what for you would be a melacha d'oraisa. The non-Jewish person can do it for you, as we've already learned previously, k'del b'sif gimel and ayin shom in the ramah b'dahagah. The issue footnote number 95 reminds us that if your entire body is racked with suffering because of this toothache, so then we've already learned as well in Sifkot and Ches, Shemuta l'chalal lovas haShabbos afil adi Yisrael. If it's potentially life-threatening in any way, a tooth abscess, a severe tooth infection could be very, very serious, so then even a Jewish person would be allowed to be m'chalal Shabbos with an issur d'oraisa because that's a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Kufalev says you're not allowed to go and gargle over here lo yigma with this vinegar and spit it out because demuchach milsa shulufu. It's clear that you're doing this for medicinal purposes, which you're not allowed to do. And even vafilu lishos, if you're going to wait a little bit after you gargle it and then swallow it v'achakach yivla, it would still be forbidden to do so. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Kufbeis explains, v'odin yayin sraf, it's not only vinegar, the same thing as we said would apply to whiskey, gam kendino kamochometz has the same halachic status over here as vinegar, however, ach b'mokum tzar godol, if there's a tremendous amount of pain, efshel lismoch b'yayin sraf, then maybe you could rely and use over here whiskey or some sort of spirits, the mutla shoso b'fiv, that you could keep it in your mouth, and then v'livloa achakach, and then swallow, because that is somewhat of a normal way of drinking whiskey or liquor, as brought down by the Chai Odom. Dirsha footnote 96 brings down, the Chol Zerakish Eino Nikar shows Kelen Fruah, but this is only if it's not clearly visible, because it's only Mechosh B'yam over here, so it can't be at all a concern that you're doing it for Refuah purposes to a bystander. But if by your gargling, so to say, keeping the liquor in your mouth over just one side of your cheek, for example, because that's where the tooth hurts you, then Rav Nissen Karlitz Shlita says it would be obvious that you're doing it for Refuah purposes and it would be prohibited even with the whiskey. Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, Od Kosov, the Chai Odom wrote further, Duad din da'osu litin al shein negeloch. You wouldn't be allowed to put on your tooth something called negeloch, which we bring down in the Tirgum Tzipor and Bosin, which is normally translated as clove. O spirits, which would be an alcohol-based drink. Vesubin chamin, or hot bran. All of these would have medicinal purposes. Dekoze muchach shul refuah, and therefore it's not allowed for a mechosh b'yama. Unless, in lo dekoiv le'tuva, unless you have so much pain over here from the toothache that it's really bothering your whole body, so to say, and then, as we pointed out already previously, it would be permissible. As brought down by Chayodim. And he says as well, in that situation where it is allowed to be done by a Jewish person, he must do it with a shinoi. However, the Chayodim is masik shom, he questions over there, if there is no way to do it with a shinoi, you're opening up the bottle of whiskey, what type of a shinoi could it be? So you're allowed to pour it in that situation and use it even without a shinoi. So you're not allowed to spit it out, gargle and spit it out, or gargle and keep it in your mouth for a long time and then swallow it. But what you are allowed to do, the Mechaber tells us, avu magameya, you're allowed to put it in your mouth, uboleya, and swallow it right away, o metabobo kidarko, or to use it as a dip, and then put the vegetable or whatever that you dipped into it into your mouth, and now you have the vinegar in your mouth, and you can swallow it in a normal way. Likewise, achoshes regrona, if somebody has a sore throat, lo ya'arenu b'shemen, you're not allowed to gargle over here with oil. However, avoboleya hu shemen, you're allowed to swallow shemen. Nu, nisrapi, nisrapi. And if that helps your throat, as soon as it goes down, that's allowed. Mishnah Berurah explains as if cotton kuf gimel. What does it mean, lo ya'arenu? It means pirush, shiyasha shemen viv. You leave it in your mouth. I call it gargling. You leave it in your mouth so it will soothe the mouth that hurts you. Vafulu im yivla b'sof, even if you're eventually going to swallow it, it's still clearly recognizable over here that you're doing it for refuah purposes, the mucha milsa, the refuah of it, and therefore you're not allowed to do this. And certainly, if you don't just leave it in your mouth and swallow it, but if you spit it out, v'koshkein v'flatenu, if you spit it out, you're not allowed to do this. However, he brings down a more makel opinion. V'yesh matirim, he brings down there are those that allow you to do this, kishabola b'sof, as long as you eventually swallow it, even if you gargled with it, it stayed in your mouth for a while, that would be allowed. Sifkot and kufdalid, you're not allowed to do this with oil. V'apilu imnosein Hashem l'soch anigron, who may silka, even if you put the oil in over here into this beet juice over here called anigron, it still would be prohibited, osur. But as we said, you're allowed to swallow it. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Kufay explains, v'yesh osrim bazet, there are those that even forbid you with this. However, this all depended, the Mogen Avraham says, on what is the normal custom of using oil in this locale. The Mishnah Berurah says, if no healthy person ever swallows oil and drinks oil, so then it would be osur. It's clear you're doing it for medicinal purposes. As we were learning, Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir. The issue footnote number 97 brings down, if you eat something at a time that you normally don't eat, for example, like before davening, so if Nissan Karolich Shlita says, it's not clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes, it would be allowed. Likewise, the issue footnote number 98 brings down, Va'ochel lechem hamaruach b'margarina, margarine. If you have a piece of bread and you're using the margarine on it to go and soothe your chapped lips, so if Nissan Karolich Shlita also says, Ein nikar she'osa kein refuah, it's not clear that you're smearing your lips over there for refuah purposes, maybe just a messy eater with the bread with margarine on it, and therefore it would be permitted as well. Sif Lamed Gimel, the Mechaber writes, Goneach, a person who sighs. What does this mean? The Mishnah Berurah explains, Sifkat and Kuvav, Mikave Libo, he has some sort of a heart problem, Shirufaso, and the treatment for this heart problem is Linok Chalav Roseach Mibahema, to actually directly suckle from a animal the milk that is hot. The milk is at body temperature when it comes out of the animal, and you suckle directly from the animal. That's the treatment for this Goneach, this heart condition. So the Mechaber tells us, Mutar Linok Chola Bibehema. For this heart condition, it's a serious condition, you would be allowed to do the Issa D'Rabbanan of suckling directly from the animal on Shabbos. The Mekom Tzara, because this is a painful illness over here, even though it's not life-threatening, and therefore Lo Gozru Rabbanan in this situation that you can't go and do the Issa D'Rabbanan of Yenika, of suckling from the animal. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Kuf Zayin explains, Hainu, the Av, the Iker, Chaliva Sabahim, Humidir, Aisa, Mishnah Mefarik, Dul Tolda, the Dosh. Even though normally removing the milk from an animal is an actual Issa Daraisa, it's a Tolda of Dosh, of separating over here the milk from the body, Kamosha Kazab Reish, Simon Shinchof, as we've already learned, Mikomokum Bezesh, Uayede Yenika, Durak Lachayat. Here you're doing it in an abnormal way, directly suckling from the animal's dad, Lohevi Rakisim, and the Rabbanim, Vitiru Bezesh. It's only an Issa Darabanim, the rabbis permitted it for because of pain. Aye, the Mishnah says, "V'after kaim lon v'kol cholish ein bo sakana omer leinu Yehudi v'oseh." Normally, would suggest that this is not a cholish yesh bo sakana; it's only a cholish ein bo sakana. It would be preferable to have a non-Jew milk the animal and give it to you. Here, it's different. Hachashani, because the refuah shalohu linok biatsu. Because here, somehow, however, this medicinal suckling works, it's only if you do it directly from the animal itself, as brought down by the Ran. The issue footnote number 101 says, if this wasn't the case, then you should go and ask a guy to go and milk the animal for you. Based upon this, the Shelus Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, brings down that we see from here that it would be preferable to have a non-Jewish person be asked to do what would be an Issa D'Raisa for you, rather than you go and do an Issa D'Rabbanan, i.e. do that same act with a Shinur to make it a D'Rabbanan. Chaber continues and he writes, V'yesh Omrim, there is an opinion that says, Shem Ein Lo Ela Tzar Shel Rov, if the pain that we're talking about over here is just hunger pangs, then Osu Linok Mibehema B'Shabbos, it's not this heart disease, but it's just hunger pangs, then you wouldn't be allowed to go and nurse directly from the animal itself on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Kuf Ches explains, this Lashon, Hai Lashon, Yesh Omrim over here, Ein meduktuk. It's not specific because that implies it's a machlokus over here. The Mashmah de l'Sar Rishon muta b'Shabbos afilu mishum tzar rov. It implies that only the second opinion says you can't do this on Shabbos for hunger pangs, and the first opinion seems to say you could, but that's not true. The Mishnah Berurah says the emes lo eskiru davar zeh klal. Nobody mentioned this. The evshalad did dehu afilu biyantiv osu b'zeh. But maybe over here it's talking about on Yontif. El adin b'fnei atzmahu, it's a separate din. The yesh poskim shemachalkim in Shabbos liyontif linin tzarov. That there are those that make a distinction between Shabbos and Yontif in terms of hunger pangs. And he brings down, because of Abach v'al Yeraba, v'alocha kya yesh omrim, that we pass him here like this yesh omrim. And this is talking about over here also linok mebehema b'Shabbos. And that's what this yesh omrim is coming to tell us. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Kuftes explains, davka mishum tzar choli hitiru avlo b'zeh, only because of illness, but not hunger, do they allow this? Because this, after all, is an Isser Daraisa, albeit knocked down to Darabonim, because you're doing it Klachayad. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Kuf Yud says you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. However, I will be on to Mutter, it would be allowed. There's no non-Jewish person that could go milk the animal for you. If you could milk it into something, as we pointed out previously, also Linok Befib Gam Yontif, then you wouldn't be allowed to suckle it directly on Shabbos or Yontif. Ella, what should you do? Yachlov l'tocha maichol, milk it into dishes. We'll explain to Mitzvah Shem in Simen Tov Kuf Hei. With that, we conclude today's shir.